Movies and Musicals with Aideen Gormley.
Well, the big release in cinemas this weekend is Small Things Like These, based on the novel by Claire Keegan, adapted for the screen by Enda Walsh. Directed by Peaky Blinders director Tim Mullance, Cillian Murphy takes on the main role of Bill Furlong, a County Wexford coal merchant, a father of five girls, who confronts the truth of one of Ireland's infamous Magdalen laundries. Set in 1985 in the run-up to Christmas, early one morning while out delivering coal at the local convent, Bill makes a discovery that forces him to confront his past and the complicit silence of a town controlled by the Catholic Church. Cillian Murphy, who also serves as a producer, is joined by a stellar cast, including Eileen Walsh, who plays his wife, and Emily Watson, who plays Sister Mary, the corrupt Mother Superior of the convent. Small Things Like These had its world premiere at the 74th Berlin International Film Festival in February. It was well received, and Emily Watson won the Silver Bear for Best Supporting Performance for her portrayal of Sister Mary. And so now, a chance for Irish audiences to see it in cinemas this weekend. I spoke with Cillian Murphy, Eileen Walsh and Emily Watson about their experience of making this film.
To me. She asked me to get her out. I'm sorry, love.
Please, leave me here. Take me home.
I'd want to watch what you'd say about what's there.
We can't have people walking in and out whenever they want.
Those nuns have a finger in every pie, babe. You go making a nuisance of yourself now. You're denying your younger ones an education.
There's a little gift for you. I'm sure Eileen will appreciate it.
Stay on the right side, people.
Cillian Murphy, Eileen Walsh and Emily Watson, welcome to Movies and Musicals. Congratulations to the three of you on your performances.
Thank you.
Thanks very much.
Cillian, you have a producer credit here too, and I know it all starts with Claire Keegan's brilliant novella, but you obviously like to surround yourself with a cast and crew you know and respect, be it your pals like Eileen Walsh there beside you, or Enda Walsh going back to the Disco Pigs days, or your Peaky Blinders director, Tim Mullance, your Oppenheimer co-star Matt Damon, a fellow producer. Is that a big part of it for you? Who is on board?
Very much so, yeah. I'm a big believer in re-collaboration because it just fosters trust, you know, and shorthand. And when you have that, then you can really go into the work feeling secure and safe. So we had an amazing team on this film, and everybody believed in the story, and everybody had the respect for the story and for the novel. And, you know, we all went into it together, which was very important.
Yeah, Eileen, you obviously have a shorthand with Cillian. Of course, back in 2002, you starred in The Magdalen Sisters, where, well, you were one of the girls in the convent. Now, this time you are on the other side of the wall as Eileen Furlong, Bill's wife, mother of five daughters. It's a very different role, and yet I couldn't help thinking that the power of the church and the community just has that hold over everyone, right?
Yeah, I think everyone feels like of a time that just cut from the same cloth. And genuinely, any of those women could be either side of that wall. You know, anybody in that community. It constantly kind of went through my head, my mother's saying of, "There for the grace of God, there for the grace of God, go I." You know, and I just think they all lived under such immense pressure to be perfect or perceived clean or whatever was demanded of them. So either and any woman could have been
absolutely
either side.
Emily, what a chilling performance as the Mother Superior. You know, you last spoke to us on the show when you were filming in Donegal with Paul Mescal with God's Creatures. And I remember we spoke about the experience of filming there, the sea, the landscape. This time, the setting of County Wexford, but really your whole existence is inside the convent walls. You have absolute power within those walls. What a character to play. Can you tell us a little about the experience?
It was obviously an inc- incredible day, you know, days of work for me just to come into this team and be there and go on the, you know, on in a big scene like that, that is so complex and so brilliantly written, and to go there with Tim and Killian and to be in that, in that arena was felt very rare and privileged. But it's the kind of situation that induces in me a really kind of visceral anger at the collusion of an institution and a state and, you know, and all the parties involved to keep those people under that oppression and the, their lives under that grip. And the children are the collateral damage. The young people are the collateral damage of that. So it, it felt like it went deep. So my, you know, it was just very, it was difficult not to feel incredibly committed to it, really.
Thank God you came when you did, Ben. We'll have some tea.
I'll not, Mother.
You've time to sit. I'm sure my purse is in the office. Leave your coat off. You'll feel the benefit later.
I mean, Killian, that scene you have as Bill with Emily, it's kind of terrifying because everybody, when you enter, everybody's nervous, but you are the male presence of Bill. But I think Sister Mary can see that you're more of a threat because she can see the goodness and kindness. You know, you're not that aggressive type male. So she's nervous of you, isn't she?
I think so, yeah. And it's so brilliantly written because they don't talk about anything. It's all about the space between the lines, the silences and the subtext, which is a gift for actors to play, you know, just to, because it's all about what you're not saying. It's all about the atmosphere. It's all about the tension between the two of them. And it was just wonderful to be in that scene with Emily. And it kind of, you know, it colors the whole movie, that one scene. And it's the scene that people talk about, you know, when they come out and, that was one of my favorite days in the film.
Yeah, I mean, even the nun serving the tea is nervous. It's just, it's so tense to watch. It really is. Eileen, I think there is a feeling even within the house in which you filmed, there's this claustrophobic feeling, isn't it? I mean, the rooms are so small and yet you sort of hear the convent bells ever present. Mm. I'm just wondering as well, in terms of Eileen and Bill's relationship, do you think that she sees what he is capable of by the end of this film? Because she asks, is he all right? She's caring. But do you think she thinks what he's capable of?
I think she's aware of his goodness. And I think she's terrified of that goodness because that's a weakness in him. And so that's scary when she needs somebody to just drive through and keep his head down to get their girls through school. And I think she's very scared. But by the end, I think perhaps his goodness is the thing that will actually be the strength that she needs to see in him. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. What do you think, Emily? Because there is that idea of, you know, when do you speak up? When do you stay silent? And that extra braveness that the character of Bill has.
Yeah, I think it's easy for us as a generation now to look back with hindsight and to see how appalling it was. But I think if you're born into that situation, a lot of people probably just don't see it. You know, they've made such a compromise within themselves that you don't see it anymore. But you know, you have to swallow an awful lot of your instincts to get to that place. And yeah. So it has a corrosive effect on human nature, which takes an incredible act of courage to stand up against that. And sort of moral intelligence as well, because, you know, if you're raised to think this is somehow right and not to question, it's very hard.
And Cillian, we mentioned there the sound of the church bells, you know, throughout and even at the end. You know, you're a man who knows and loves his music. I wondered what you made of the minimal score. I'd call it more even a soundscape. It's the ringing of the bells. You know, with another director, we could have had a sweeping orchestral score that just would have been too much. And a lot of it, I think, is about just hearing your breathing and your stress, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, we were... Like, our ambition was to have no music on the film whatsoever, but in the end, we felt like it needed something. But it's all sort of, it comes from the ambient sound of the town, do you know what I mean? And even in the scene with Emily, with Sister Mary, it's the fire that becomes the sort of the score, if you know what I mean. Because it's such a delicate story and sort of ostensibly so simple. Well, if you put something on it, it can collapse. If you know, if you put something that telegraphs any emotion, it could collapse. So you had to be very, very delicate with the music.
What about the little bit of classical music we do hear? It's interesting. It's Ravel's Pavane for a Dead Princess. Was that a particular choice?
That comes from the book. That was a piece of music that his mother loved. Yeah, and it was lovely to be able to put that in and to find the correct recording and all that. Yeah, it's a lovely little interlude.
It is, isn't it? And I mean, Cillian, this is what happens with a lot of Irish movies now. They're seen on the international stage first, in your case, Berlin. So you sort of know already it's going to travel well. How do you feel this weekend about showing it to an Irish audience?
Well, I don't think a film is finished until an audience sees it, really. So we're all really excited to show it to the world. And, you know, the thing is, so many people adore Claire's book, not just in Ireland, but all over the world. So hopefully, you know, everyone that's read the book will go and see the film. That's the ambition.
Yeah, and I think they'll be very happy with it. Congratulations again to the three of you, and thanks for taking time out to talk to us today.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ian.